The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
This is Carlito, and you know what's cool? The WrestleCast. That's cool.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Coming to get it all.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States Heavyweight
Champion.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis? Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler. You know. Hey, get out of my way. You're coming to thunder and lightning.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to WrestleCast. This is episode, I think, 121. I might have not been here for one of them. Is it 121?
121 is correct, sir.
All right. Two for two. 2 weeks in a row. And I got it right. So, I'm Samuel Colunga, of course, and with me is Mr. Donald De Laurenti.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the WrestleCast.
And also, live in a... Live somewhere on location is Miss Didi Janae.
At an undisclosed location.
Right. That would be parts unknown.
Parts unknown. I am here.
Right.
Hey, friends.
Hello, Deidre. So, we're going to get a little bit of news out of the way first before we get started with our reviews and stuff. So, first off, we have that Brock Lesnar has informed the UFC that he is retired from MMA. So no more USADA testing for him. No more popping up like in the bushes and stuff like that. No more, you know, showing up at his house at 6 a.m. But what do you think about this?
He doesn't need the hassle, so yeah, that's fine. He did what he needed to do. He popped their rating for 200. He got his money. Enough said.
Yeah, my thing is, once you're getting rid of by Goldberg in 7 seconds, can you really go back to like UFC and be like, yeah, I'm a threat?
No. You think that had an effect on? You think that had an effect on like how people outside of wrestling viewed him?
I think it was all like a part of a big plan. Like he knew where he was, and so he ordered it in those steps. Because, like, really, really, really. So, like, I think that we all knew where it was, and this is just the culmination of the fact that he just ain't got it no more, and that's okay.
You ain't got it. You ain't got it, right, Didi? Okay.
Indeed.
Okay, so next. So Rosa Mendez, long-time employee of the WWE, has finally announced her retirement.
She was still under contract?
Yeah, she's been under contract since, like, what, 2006, 2007? She was like the female JTG.
Just, hey, so, man, CTC.
Yeah. Right, so she hasn't wrestled since April 2015. She was written out of storylines that were finding out she was pregnant. And, yeah, so... She made the announcement on her daughter's first birthday. So, I don't know. Last year, I remember she was with the scammers. She was their valet.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also with Fandango for a while until he dismissed her as well. Okay, so Chavo Guerrero Sr., aka Chavo Classic, has passed away at the age of 68. I never saw him at all growing up, like at all. Like I think maybe he was wrestling like. You know, I think he already kind of stopped a little bit by the time I started watching it. All I remember is from him, like, when he was hanging out with Chavo Jr. in WWE. That's all I remember.
The old-timers say that he was probably the first person to ever do a moonsault.
Oh, wow. A Chavo salt.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and that
he was, like, Roddy Piper's very first, like, big feud.
Yeah, I was listening to the Cornette podcast earlier, and he was talking about that.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, all the, you know, his brothers and his dad, of course, Gory, and the family on down, you know, so yeah, definitely a big part of wrestling history and Lucha Libre history, of course, so.
Right. So Nicole Bass has passed away at 52 years old, sadly. Nicole Bass was a female bodybuilder who later went on into pro wrestling. She suffered a massive stroke earlier in the week and never recovered.
Mm.
So, she was pretty, I mean, she was a big woman. I mean, I don't know if you remember her or not, Don.
Oh, yeah. I remember Nicole Bass.
Yeah. She was first in ECW after Paul Heyman said that he had someone who was taller and bigger than China, and he brought out this massive woman. She was bigger than most men in any promotion she was in. She made it to the WWF, WWE in 1999, and I think she debuted at WrestleMania 15, where she came out and attacked Tori, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ragdolled her ass.
Yeah, and after that, I never saw her again, but she later sued WWE claiming sexual harassment, a case that went to court, but she eventually lost. Apparently, she's been battling health problems for the past decade. So, yeah. All right, one more thing. WWE is expected to partner with HBO Sports and Bill Simmons on the Andre the Giant documentary. Are y'all looking forward to this?
It should be pretty cool.
It's like...
So for a long time, Bill Simmons had been wanting to do a 30 for 30 on him, but then he was fired by ESPN, so now it looks like he's moving on to his current employer, HBO.
And instead of, like, jacking his IP, they just changed it to Ric Flair, so... It's a win-win for both, right? So for all wrestling fans involved.
Yeah, especially since WWE is like partnering with this, with them on this, so now we're going to get some of that actual footage instead of like heavy like Japanese stuff and like early Andre.
Yeah, actually, the Japanese stuff is really good.
Yeah, but the majority of his stuff is, you know, has in WWE.
Yeah. That you want to get the Hogan stuff and the stuff with Bob Uecker and all that at WrestleMania.
I actually watched the Saturday Night Main Event. Where the two Dave the Hitler is on.
Yeah.
I actually watched that the other day. Man, people, and I read somewhere that 30 million people watched that show.
Yeah, it was on regular old NBC back in the day.
On NBC, back when there were three channels.
Yeah, and cable wasn't the move that it was. And even if you had cable, you still watched most of your shows on regular, you know, the regular big four channels or three channels.
I remember we had cable at this time. The only thing I really remember watching was HBO. That was pretty much all I really ever watched. We had movies on there.
We watched HBO and we watched a lot of TBS because, of course, we watched wrestling. So TBS was a big deal when we got cable. I mean, I think really the reason we got cable was so we could watch Saturday Night Wrestling.
Right.
It was like 50% of it.
Right. But I was watching this thing and I hadn't seen it in a very, very long time. And I just remember how like Hulk Hogan in the post-match interview, he was like, imagine the amount of money how much money did $1 million man spend to get that other man's face altered to look like Dave Hebner.
Mm-hmm. So great. Yeah, it was great. And that's probably like a Dick Enberg like written down promo, because he said that like Dick Enberg Saturday Night's Main Event had like a lot more production to it. Like Bruce Prichard was saying when they got together with Dick Enberg through the XFL, you know, he was talking about working with them through Saturday Night's Main Event, and he was like, yeah, they had a lot more production. They had, you know, scripted promos and you know, more things, pre-tapes and things like that when they did those. And that's kind of like how they built the modern WWE, is kind of based off what they did with Dick Ingersoll on Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah. And like how like the crowd would pop, like with the opening match was Macho versus Honky Tonk Man. Man, that crowd was just up. It was just up for that match. And after, I think Macho won, did he win with a count out or disqualification? Or I think it was a count out. That's why the title couldn't change hands, because he wanted a count out. But still, the crowd was popping. And then he brought Elizabeth into the ring, and he put on her on his shoulders, and it was just a crowd pleasing moment right there. But anyway, but yeah, like I really think they should bring Saturday Night Main Event back. I mean, I know they tried before and it didn't really work, but I think they have the superstars for it now, and they did when they first tried to put it on.
Mm.
When they first tried to bring it back, I think they like you can. There's a place where you can showcase a guy like AJ Styles and, you know, your boy Roman Reigns or whoever, you know.
Mm. But I don't know if it would be as if it would be something that they would want to try to do now that they got the network. I think they would try to put it on their network before they would try to put it on.
It wouldn't be as impactful. It wouldn't be as impactful now that we have like 1,000 channels. Also, but I think it could put more eyes on it. More eyes that don't normally watch.
The nostalgia of it, just the name itself, would draw like a lot of people.
Right. All right. So, what are we doing first? The Elimination Chamber.
Of course.
All right.
Sunday we had SmackDown pay-per-view, hashtag SmackDown Matters, every Tuesday, live tweet, join us at 8 o'clock. So starting
8 o'clock Eastern.
That's right. Starting first step, we had hashtag say no to Coach.
So yeah, we had Kurt Hawkins versus Mojo Rawley. I don't know, how many people, did any of y'all watch this?
Of course.
I actually watched it because I was with somebody who says yes to pre-shows.
So you said yes to pre-shows. Okay.
He said yes to pre-shows and then fell asleep for the main show. Which is why I say no to pre-shows.
And it was a Hashtag EC Matters and chill.
I mean, it was more like EC Matters and nap time. Like, that's really
EC Matters and sleep.
Well, exactly. he just got exactly. put on the list, didn't he?
Very much.
Or scratched off the list, depending on how you look at things of that nature.
Like when you woke up, did you tell him that he was SAWFT?
Yes, but when he woke up, there was literally one other match left. He was gone.
So he missed the main event.
He missed everything. I think he woke up right before hashtag. I mean, wait. Spoiler alert. Alexa Bliss may or may not have lost. There he is. That's when he woke up.
We'll see.
That's when he woke
okay,
up.
Okay, so he did watch the main event.
Everything. Long story, not so long. Yeah.
So Raleigh pinned Hawkins after a Total World Slam in a pre-show match where Hawkins shined up Raleigh to fire for a quick comeback, leading directly to the finish. So, Becky Lynch versus Mickie James.
The start of the official Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Hashtag EC Matters.
Hashtag EC Matters. So, Lynch versus Mickie James. What did y'all think of this match?
Good opener match. Nice way to start. People are always happy to see Mickie James. So, you know, let's do it.
So, let's see Lynch pin James with the roll-up. I thought it was kind of, I kind of wanted Mickie to win. But, you know, Becky Lynch, you know, I guess she needs to get hers every now and then.
I mean,
she needs to get a W.
Becky Lynch, she lost the title. She had taken the L's to La Luchador. She kind of taken some losses in a row. So it was kind of, you know, she was due to
major L's lately.
Yeah, she was due to get something.
Okay, so we have the robot goes up to the private box where Carmella and James Ellsworth were hanging out. I don't understand this. What was the point of this?
If you watched the pre-show, sir, James Ellsworth said that he had a ticket to the skybox and that they were going to watch the show up in the luxury suite.
So why was he all pissed off?
Because she was interrupting them. They're trying to watch the show.
Oh, okay. The robot was trying to... Well, see, the thing is, she's a robot, and she's programmed to ask questions. That's why she kept trying to come back, because she has to complete her programming.
This isn't small wonder, even though Kevin Owens did refer to Charlie as a robot.
He did refer to her as a robot, okay. That's because they all are. All these interview people are robots. You got robots and horses in WWE.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so, yeah, so she's... let's see here. Carmella thought the wrong woman won the match. And then Ellsworth just said what she said. So this will continue throughout the show. Your boy Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Dolph Ziggler. So first of all, Dolph comes out wearing red, white, and blue pants. I don't know if like anyone told him, but he's a heel. It's just kind of weird. So then Crews comes out, and then Kalisto comes out, but then Dolph attacks him and just beats him up before the bell. Now the match goes on. The crowd doesn't care. So Kalisto comes down the aisle selling the leg, right? He comes out hobbling. And when he actually gets in the match, he starts, he forgets that he's injured, or he's supposed to be injured, and he's just doing all kinds of flips and shit. Let's see here, the Crews and Kalisto actually win, and Ziggler takes another L, although I don't know what the point of that was, but whatever. But then Ziggler gets mad after the match, he just attacks, did he attack both of them, or just attack, oh, he attacked Kalisto, and then he killed
pulled Kalisto off the apron, and then, put the chair to the ankle of Apollo Crews.
This was complete shit.
The crowd was complete shit because they were saying thank you, Ziggler. That's
yeah. What the fuck? What the hell? What? That's horrible. I forgot they are in racist Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hashtag build the wall.
If it leads to like Apollo Crews not being on TV for like a month,
he's not going to get any sympathy. Trust me.
8 weeks. Don't forget about him or whatever. And he comes back as like somebody new, like when The Rock got hurt, and then he came back as The Rock. Then it'll be fine. It could work out in his favor.
Okay. So tag team turmoil match. This was actually, I thought this was pretty decent. I thought it was pretty cool. When the Usos got in there and went up against,
American Alpha.
Was it American Alpha or was it? Yeah. I forgot. There was like a really, really long back and forth. Was it the Usos or American Alpha? That was good. And then after that, it just turned to complete shit. And then poor Connor and Victor, man. They are so fucked. They came out like, so weird.
I mean, they're trying to give him a chance, and they're trying to put him in these positions the last 2 weeks where you can at least try to take him with some ounce of sincerity. So, I mean, it's better than where they were like 2 weeks before this when they weren't even in your consciousness. I mean, even Didi said last week, if you think I'm going to sit here and believe the assistant is going to win, and then they won. So, you know, they're trying. Right, Didi?
Absolutely. Because they went on Raw. No, honestly, they went on Raw was hashtag out of nowhere. So, you know, it leads you in a different space than had it normally been like, oh, okay, the Ascension, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Jan. So, yeah, it's different this time.
Nikki Bella versus Natalya. So Nikki Bella.
Let's tell the people that the American Alpha hit the Grand Amplitude on Victor to retain the titles. Tag teams, it started out with Slater and Rhino against Breezango. Slater and Rhino, they eliminate Breezango. Then the Vaudevillains come down. Slater hits a DDT to eliminate the Vaudevillains. Then that's when the Usos came out. They eliminated Slater. And then that's when American Alpha came out. And we had that great back and forth between them, and Gable used the backslide to eliminate the Usos, and then the Usos basically beat down American Alpha after the match, and then the Ascension was the last tag team, and American Alpha showed their grit and determination. Jason Jordan, especially.
Okay, cool. So Nikki Bella,
Rick Steiner Jr.
So this whole time, Nikki Bella is saying that like, you know, she's there because of, you know, because of her hard work and determination, not because of her looks or who she's dating. Comes out wiggling her ass, pulling off her top so you can see her fake boobs. So, yeah, I don't know.
She does that every time she comes to the ring. That's not,
I know, but it's like, they're trying to make people, you know, they're trying to make her the face. It's just kind of weird.
I mean, Nikki Bella has always been a face, even when she was the heel. She's always trying to make
people, okay, with this whole storyline with Natalya teasing her or whatever, Natalya's dropping truth bombs. And, you know, they're trying to make Nikki the sympathetic baby face. And it's not working because she comes out and I don't know. I can't really put it into words. It's just kind of annoying. But anyway, they wrestle Natty taunts Nikki's mom, who's at ringside. She does the whole "you can't see me" thing. Okay, so at one point, Nikki puts on what she calls the fearless lock, but she puts it on really awkward. And it looks like she's actually legit choking Natalya. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah, man. This match was physical as hell. This is the most physical Nikki Bella has ever been. And she took some physicality, too.
She's improved a lot. Like, I'll give her that. It's just like her character is just kind of... So they both begin brawling on the floor, and they both get counted out. So,
Great. This was like what she would have saw from a big match on like Superstars from back in the day. Like, there is this match. It was like IRS versus, I think it was like Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect was like a face, and they had like, you know, all this, the jobber matches and interviews, and then they had the big main event at the end. And how did it end? In a count out. Perfectly fine. Advanced the story.
So now this continues, because we need to see more of this.
Oh, this has been a fantastic long-term story.
Yeah, I don't know. So for a cheap shot after the bell, Natty super punched Nikki as Natty was leaving. Nikki recovered and tackled Natty on the ramp. This feud goes on. Randy Orton versus Luke Harper. Be the what in this match, because you know Luke Harper is the one who got beat up on. He's the one who should be seeking revenge, but then Randy Orton plays the babyface in this match. What are your thoughts on that?
This was just a match. I didn't look at it as I'm kind of like, sometimes I don't even care about that. It's just like, okay, these two guys are, who's going to wrestle? What's the issue? Oh, okay. Luke Harper don't like that Randy Orton took his spot in the Wyatt family. Okay, I get it. I'm here for it.
Okay, Orton pinned Harper with an RKO out of nowhere, and they settled into a slow build before picking up the pace for key high spots. Then they brought the crowd to their feet for the dramatic conclusion.
Okay. Luke Harper shared his ass. He had a hell of a job. I think he might have been the standout person where people came out of the event going, you know who impressed me? You know who I like now? You know who showed me something? Luke Harper.
Yeah, well, he could always go. I mean, like, you know, he was Big Brody Lee in the indies. Like, go look up some of his stuff. The guy's a thoroughbred.
Oh, yeah, but not everybody knows he can go like that, because he's always been, you know, in the shadow of the Wyatt family.
Just the lackey, yeah.
Yeah, so good stuff. Didi, what do you feel about Mr. All Lives?
All Lives.
I mean, All Lives can do whatever he wants to do. I know the truth. He's not for us. But, you know, in what do you want to call it, in storyline, it's great. It's fine. It's perfect. But I know who he is. I know who Randall is.
And you see through him.
I see through him because, you know, Caucasian. Clear.
Okay. So during a backstage interview, Nikki was saying her feud when Natalya was not over, clearly. Proving her right, Natalya attacked Nikki for a pull. Now, is this the one where Maurice got, like, powder in the face or something.
Yeah, the makeup powder, the foundation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now she's injected into this. So see, I didn't get to watch the SmackDowns. I don't know if they continue this with her or not.
We'll find out.
We'll see. So the main event, or my main event, Alexa Bliss versus Naomi for the SmackDown Women's Championship. So I don't know, Naomi looked great. Alexa was kind of, seemed like she was playing catch up to me. I don't know, like, it just kind of seemed kind of odd. Naomi won with you're going to defend your...
No. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some backstage info. In the last year, WWE's come to, they make their two trips, so you get one in the fall and one in the summer. And both times, the two people who were always linked together are Naomi and Alexa Bliss. Before the matches, like when they're doing their little rolling in the ring and they're whatever, doing moves or sequences on each other, they're always practicing on each other. So I figured that this would be a little bit cleaner match than it was, but you're right. I think it just wasn't because Naomi was in such a big stage. I think she might have been going a step faster than Alexa Bliss was expecting.
Like, she killed this poor girl.
Yeah, the split legged moonsault. Yeah.
So I think Naomi does she do the Frankensteiner? Or somehow she gets Alexa on the mat, right?
Right.
So she gets Alexa on the mat, and she's clearly out of position.
Alexa tried to do the sparkle splash, and Naomi got her knees up.
So when that happened, she rolled out of the way, but then she rolled too far, and so Naomi jumped up on the turnbuckle, and Alexa's trying to roll back into position, and she gets kind of halfway, and she does the split leg moonsault, but then it just she lands on her hip, just crushed her.
Yeah.
She goes for the pin and she wins, and it's beautiful and lovely. And then the crowd did that fucking "You Deserve It" chant.
Well, this time the fucking "You Deserve It" chant was actually
still stupid. I don't care.
Where,
it's still stupid.
Where it was properly placed where it needed to be. Shake your fist at the sky guy.
We're supposed to be at a sporting event. You don't do that.
Okay, John Cena.
Well. Oh, I heard he got mad. He got mad because he did it to Bray. Did that really happen?
Yes, John Cena.
What happened? Like I said, I knew
when the SmackDown review happens, you'll find out. But yes, you sound just like John Cena right now.
He got mad. He got mad because they weren't doing it for him. Because he doesn't deserve it.
Now, as many times as we've been on this damn podcast and the name has come up, how many times have you said?
No, okay.
So
as an analyst, as someone who's we're reviewing the show. Of course, we say, okay.
So guess what?
As a fucking spectator, you should be like, oh, you deserve it.
There's a whole bunch of fans who go to these shows, and guess what? When they end them seats, they become analysts too. So when they don't like shit, they boo. When they like shit, they cheer. When shit is boring, they don't do anything. So guess what? Their analyst cap came on, and it was a very truth. The same truth that we speak.
They do it for everybody.
In this case, the one time it applies. In this case, you shouldn't even have. Yes, exactly. It applies, so there shouldn't be no reason to say, "Oh, it fucking sucks." No, it was properly placed.
It was one of the worst. You still got it. Those two really irritate me.
And it caused a genuine
moment.
Oh
my god, what are you talking about? Can we please move on?
Hi, Didi.
I like it.
Like, I'm not sober. I can't do this on that. Let's keep it going.
Are you okay?
I'm drunk. But I'm good though. Yes. Thank you.
Elimination Chamber. You want to run through it for us, Edie?
Yeah, Edie,
go for it.
Who did it start with? People and People?
John Cena and AJ Styles began the match. They were the first two.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Bray.
Yeah.
Then Baron Corbin.
Yeah. And then Corbin was the first one out.
Mm-hmm. And Miz was the last one in.
Yeah, rolled up by Dean.
Which wasn't fair at all. I feel like that was a scam, but that's okay.
Uh-huh. And then Corbin did you a favor and beat the hell out of Dean Ambrose.
He did. It was great. Oh my god, so good. It was so good. Mm-hmm. And then The Miz covered Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I remember things.
Then he got promptly eliminated by Cena.
And that's okay because Cena also got eliminated by whom?
Bray Wyatt and Sister Abigail.
That was great. Mm-hmm. Okay, now who got thrown into the plastic? into the what's the Pyrex? What do you call it?
The
you're talking about the plexiglass.
Well, which time? Because Dean Ambrose got thrown into the pod. That was one time. AJ Styles caught it a couple of times. Yes. That was pretty nasty.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Bray catches. Oh, go ahead.
No. That should just be noted because it was great when it happened. Yeah.
Bray catches AJ coming off the ropes for the phenomenal forearm, but he turns it into the Sister Abigail. And your new WWE champion is Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds.
Yay. Now, we played Who You Got, and Miracle of Miracles between me, Don DeLaRente, and Ed the Sports Fan. We ended in a three-way tie. You know, sometimes it just happens like that.
Yes, we had a 60-minute Broadway.
It wasn't
time limit draw.
It wasn't the plan, but that was the conclusion. And long story not so long. You know, it's a good show when you can get there when it wasn't really built that way. Because we all had really different ideas about how all the matches would go.
Yeah, the match that threw everything off was the count out.
Yeah. Because
that was like nobody got a point right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the show and tell. But yeah, I was very happy about Nene. I was very happy that John Cena didn't retain. And it got to the point where I didn't even care if John... I didn't really care who won as long as John lost. So that's where I was with it. So it was great for me. Because Nene won, John lost, Bray Wyatt won. I trusted, you know, the sources because I picked Bray Wyatt solely because I had heard that people had said that...
Wait, it was the worst kept secret.
But the thing of it is I don't look for it at all. So it's not like... My thing is I believe in kayfabe, which means I don't look for anything. I don't research anything. I go with what I saw on the TV screen. But you had told me, Sam, that was what the whole plan was. So when Don asked me, I was like, well, this is what I heard. So let me just try that this one time. And, like, I was very happy to be correct. So it was just like, oh, cool. Yay, I won.
Also, well, yeah, because historically, like, when stuff like that gets out, it gets changed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, and also I heard that, like, the fallback was Miz.
Which, as long as the fallback was not John Cena, so it's acceptable to me. It's perfectly fine.
Now that would have been a swizzer if the Miz would have got it.
Okay, he's had a fairly good run lately. Like,
oh yeah,
ever since the night after Mania,
ever since Maryse came back.
Yeah, that same night when like the security guard didn't know who she was. That was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ever since that night, that dude has just been, and he's a heat magnet. Like when at WrestleMania,
but he's okay.
When he jumped up on the ladder, the entire AT&T Stadium just booed. It was so great. I mean, and so the show ends with All Lives Matter standing on the stage, looking over at Bray. So yay! So, what are y'all's ranking on the Elimination Chamber?
Oh, I give it
on the whole show.
I give it 7.5 gummy bears. Yeah, it was fantastic. I thought it was a really good show.
Nice.
Deidre comes through like they always do.
Deidre, what's your rating on the show?
I give it about an 8. 2 points for Nene actually winning. 6 points for what it was without all that. But you know, bonus points are necessary. Miss Sammy, how many Sour Patches do you give it?
Oh God, this again. Probably about a 6.
Okay, fair.
That Ziggler match suppressed the hell out of me.
That's pretty high for you, so.
Oh, I'm not Bret Hart. I'm not giving it 4.
True. Instead. Very true.
All right. So, Monday Night Raw, live from Las Vegas. Chavo Guerrero tribute photo at the start of the show. Stephanie comes down and says that Foley is not there. But then Roman Reigns comes down and demands a match against Braun Strowman tonight. Stephanie pulls the crowd, teasing the match, but then takes it away, just like I hate when they do that, because it kills the crowd, but whatever. She says that Strowman is already in action tonight against Mark Henry. You'll like this here. The alt-right come down. What do you think of that?
Meh. Nobody invited them. Stay your asses.
No, it's about the
No, I know exactly.
The name they're not giving. Yeah.
I know who you mean. They could have stayed back before somebody asked for them. Don't come for me if I didn't send for you. You know? It's that. Yeah.
So the alt-right come down. They ask for a match against Roman Reigns. Stephanie does a horrible Teddy Long impression, making a 2-on-1 handicap match. Roman Reigns against Alternative Facts in a 2-on-1 handicap match. This was stupid. This ending was stupid. Moving on. Oh, yeah, they were the the fascists were disqualified for kicking too much ass.
Now, this is where, if you ain't got nothing for these three dudes to do, why don't you just have like two squash matches in the interview afterwards?
Exactly.
Instead of having your, you know, not that over babyface beat your, or, you know, whatever the hell this was to your dude tag team champions.
Right. I mean, just have the Richard Spencers, you know, against like a local competitor or something, you know, something.
Yeah, this wasn't good.
So this is pretty cool. The New Day comes out with a manila folder with ice cream machine written on it. They say that they will share these ice cream machine blueprints with the world after Kofi beats Bo Dallas. Do we want ice cream? And New Day dances around and Xavier plays Francesca number two. Bo gets into it, dances around, but then he steals the blueprints and tears the folder in half. Heel tactics. The match begins.
Xavier was so crushed. Oh.
Yeah, I know, right? So Bo hits his finisher, which I completely forgot about because I forgot what it was called. We just can't get the victory. Nevertheless, Kofi hits the SOS and gets the win. They pour Bootios down his mouth. I kind of wanted Bo to win just because like, he needs to quit. The young man needs to quit taking L's and he needs a fresh start. So I thought a win here would have gotten him on some kind of roll.
And oh, he's already.
And it would have started a nice feud.
He's already headed towards the fresh start. You notice the biggest you know, change to his look, right?
His beard?
Yes.
He still walks out with that stupid side, though. Like,
but that's the first step in becoming a member of the Wyatt family. See, Randy Orton can't never be considered a member of the Wyatt family because he ain't never grown no facial hair. He's had more than enough time.
He can't. I don't think he can grow facial hair like properly. Because
like,
he grows in patches.
Then the Wyatt family should not be recruiting anybody who cannot fulfill their requirements.
Right. Have like a nice beard, a nice full beard or something. So the robot interviews Neville. While he talks, we see his blue gum in his mouth. Jack Gallagher appears, and Neville calls him a boy and says that he is not on his level. So Noam Dar versus Jack Gallagher. Alicia Fox is out there looking good as usual. Corey Graves claims that she has her eyes on Jack Gallagher, and I would just say, don't you start that. Don't you start that mess. Jack Gallagher picks up the victory. Neville comes out and stands on the stage looking menacing. Corey Graves steals a line from The Wire, where he says, you come at the king, you best not miss.
I'm mad they got my man Noam Dar out here doing all these, you know, JOBs right now. They need to get some cruiserweight jobbers and stop jobbing out Noam Dar. He's got some real talent. And they need to, like, him and, like, Alicia Fox need to, like, go watch some Baby Doll and Tully Blanchard stuff on YouTube and get this thing down, get that chemistry down.
Right.
It could be awesome if Noam Dar does, like, that pretty boy starts coming out in, like, a suit and, Noam Dar Enterprises.
Watch some Boogie Woogie Man and Big Mama. You can watch some of that too.
Maybe not so much, but okay.
Hey, do you got no love for Big Mama? Come on. She was great.
Yeah, she was great.
Okay, Joey Samoa arrives at the arena, pulling up in a limo with Triple H. Okay, Dini, here's your favorite part right here. Emelina comes out. She says in a sultry voice that we've been waiting 17 weeks, but here she is. And now, witness the transformation of Emelina too. And then she says in her normal voice, Emma. And then she just walks off. So, Don, you may or may not remember this. Dini, I know you don't remember this. A long time ago, back in 1999, Dustin Rhodes left WWE for WCW. Remember this, Don?
Keep going and see if you jog something.
Okay, so for weeks and weeks and weeks, there were vignettes. There were these weird promo videos for a character named Seven. This went on for several weeks. He was like,
I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
He was just like, come to me. And there was one video where he was in, there was like a house and he was standing outside the window telling a little boy to come to the window he was trying to coax a small child to come with him. Well, some people say it was Cody Rhodes, but I think that kid was too young. When it was time for Seven to actually debut, the arena went dark. There was creepy music and thunderclaps and fake lightning. And there was Dustin Rhodes S7 flying around the ringside area with cables attached. His entire head was painted completely white. He wore a black duster and black cowboy hat. He came down, did a creepy monologue, changed to his normal voice, and said for years he played a sideshow freak, and he's not going to let Vince Russo do it to him again in WCW. So he rips off the duster, rips off the cowboy hat, and leaves the ring, and we never see Seven again. Instead, he just goes back to be Dustin Rhodes. So this is what this reminds me of. I don't know. You remember this, Don? You remember that happening?
I remember, the Seven vignettes. Yeah, I don't remember the Peter panning around the ring, but I definitely remember the vignettes, though.
He only appeared one. And there's also, what was another one? Beaver Cleavage, remember that one?
No, definitely don't remember that.
You really don't? Or are you kayfabing me?
No, I really don't. Never even heard of that before.
Okay, there was a character, Mosh, after Headbangers broke up, he did a weird, like, Leave It to Beaver character where for weeks they were doing vignettes where it was, like, him and his mom and, like, it was some kind of weird incest thing that he was, like, in love with his mother and he was, like, Beaver from Leave It to Beaver. So when finally they do he finally arrives and they do an interview with him. In the middle of the interview, he just stops and just says, I can't do this, and he just walks away. And then he just goes back to being Mosh. So this is another version of this. So what I've heard from the hashtag rag sheets, not me, from the sheets, was that WWE didn't think they thought that she wasn't really right for this character. And like every time they would do like rehearsals for it, or every time she would practice this character, she just did not get it right. So that's why they decided to pull the plug. What do y'all think?
Meh. Oh well.
I guess not everybody could be Eva Marie, right?
Right. You know? Everybody wants to talk about her lack of talent as far as wrestling in the ring. But she has the one thing like Noam Dar has that might be more important. She can entertain. She's got entertainment factor that's through the roof. Like when she was on NXT and she wasn't wrestling and she did like, oh, I'm on this, you know, vacation in Europe. And every week she would send us like a video postcard. Yeah. It was fantastic. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Or like when the crowd thought that like she was going to win the title, they even had like the ref come out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, hopefully they bring back Badass Emma and not Goofy NXT Emma.
Yeah, they just need to go ahead and put Emma and Dana Brooke back together again and just
Emma and Dana,
figure it out.
Okay, so the robot asks Bayley if she's ready for her match. Bayley compares herself to Lita and Trish Stratus, and she says she believes in herself. Okay, so Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho are backstage, and they're ready for the Festival of Friendship. Triple H appears and asks to talk to Kevin Owens. Now, save that in your memory banks, because that's going to come up later, or it might come up later. So Mark Henry versus Brody the Strowman. It's time for Mark Henry to put over the next big bull. Now, this is pretty much all they keep him around for these days anyway. Brody takes his time with the pounding. Henry does get some shots in, but it's not a great squash, but it's not a like squash, but it's a squash in a way.
I don't like this.
They keep doing this to him and Big Show.
It has nothing to do with Mark Henry or Big Show. I'm strictly speaking about Braun Strowman. It's more impressive to watch him throw around them little guys than have like a struggle match with these bigger guys that he doesn't really have the experience to have the big on big man match yet. You know, now he's got beating up little guys. He's got that down pat. So just stick with that. You don't have to have him in here with Mark Henry and Big Show because he hasn't graduated to that level yet. So.
A few months ago, he was working Big Show in the house matches, and apparently he still ain't got it.
Yeah, I understand that because you know it's for TV purposes on just how to be big. So I can get why you do that for TV, but then don't come and put it on TV.
This is like when they had Goldberg out there, and William Regal actually tried to wrestle him. And he got in trouble for it.
I don't know. Yeah, because he got him all winded.
Yeah.
And he looked like shit once he was tired. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's only one way to play Goldberg, and that wasn't it. And then a month later, he was gone.
So, I mean, it worked out for the best. I mean, you know.
Right. Yeah.
He got a crappy gimmick in the beginning.
He became a man. He became a real man's man.
Yeah, a real man's man. But after that, though, after the real man's man, things got substantially better. Right. Even to this day, it's still going good for William Regal.
Okay, so after the match, Roman Reigns comes out. One of Stephanie's stipulations for Roman was that he could not interfere in the match. That's why he waited to come out afterwards. Strowman knocks Roman off the apron, but he goes after him again. He Superman punches the guy twice, but it has no effect, and he gets him down to one knee at one point. He tries a spear Braun, but Braun turns it into a running power slam. And that's pretty much all she wrote. Okay, so stuff with Enzo and Cass happens, at least to a match for later. Interview with Joey Samoa, he says he came to the WWE to hurt people. The only person he respects is Triple H, because he was the only man to give him a chance. Michael Cole asked if Joe was there because Triple H is afraid of Seth Rollins. Joe wants to know if the interview is about him or Triple H. If Seth does come back, he has no problem putting him back on the shelf. Cole says that this isn't the first time Triple H has gotten behind the guy. Joe says he is not like those other men, and he does not need Triple H's help. Well, that's why he's not like those other guys. He's not like most guys, Don.
Yeah, he didn't need to be propped up.
All right, Sami Zayn versus Rusev. Rusev's face mask popped up.
Whoa. You got the most important part of the promo where he goes, I'm not like Sami Zayn, one of these guys who's just happy to be on Raw.
Okay. So rude. So Sami nasty Zayn caught that, and so rude.
He caught that stray. Samoa Joe was just talking, and then all of a sudden he's just like, I'm not one of these guys like Sami Zayn. Like, God damn. Just so he was clapping, and Sami Zayn just came out the store and just got, wasn't even looking for it.
So Rusev's face mask popped off during the match. That's the most exciting thing to happen during the actual match. Sami hits a hell of a kick out of nowhere.
The two camera shots of Lana would be my...
God.
But I put on the Rawcast, hashtag Rawcast, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, that they should have a picture-in-picture when Rusev wrestles, and the match should be in the small box.
Jesus Christ. So the robot interviews Sami on the stage. Yes. If this win is going to give him a boost of confidence. He says that this is a great win to come back from a loss. He talks about Joey Samoa, which leads to Joe's music playing. Zayn stares at the entrance like a dummy. And of course, Joe attacks him from the side. He beats him down and puts him in the coquina clutch and tells him to put some respect on his name.
All he was missing was the Birdman hand wrap.
Right. So, Didi, is Sami Zayn a dummy for just staring at the entrance?
Absolutely he is, and I love him, right? But at the end of the day, you keep your head on a swivel, and you know already that Joe has a tendency to not come from where you think he's coming from. So that means,
I mean, like,
sure, look there, but keep your head twist.
Turn. I mean, Sami Zayn could have just,
check
you know,
your peripherals. I don't understand why he wouldn't.
Yeah. He could have just kept him moving. He could have just caught his stray and just kept him moving, but now he had to say something.
He legit could have done a whole bunch of things that would have prevented all of that from happening. And my thing is, I love Sami, and I consider him one of the other Caucasians, but that was very white of him to just be like, ooh, who's coming from the back? Like, he literally just came from somewhere else other than the back a week or two ago.
I know, right? So like, if you just watched Raw, you would have noticed.
If you knew what he had done to Seth, then you know that he didn't come from right there. So you should know to look from the side. And so again, I hate when logic just disappears. But then again, maybe men just don't pay attention. Or maybe it's a Caucasian man thing, or maybe it's a Caucasian adjacent man thing. I don't know. So I'm willing to like make it be like whatever it needs to be, but it's nothing that I would have fallen for. And so,
I mean, you already see
so
people
it's
are,
nothing that I respect. But you know, hey,
you're gonna see people are like easily distracted by music, so I mean, I guess.
But my thing is music, but if you know that the man's music hit for Seth, and then he came from somewhere that wasn't the back, turn your head. And so then when you don't, then I call you dumb. And that doesn't make me feel good, because you know I love Sami. I stand for Sami, but that was dumb as hell.
Yeah, he got choked the fuck out.
Yes,
so
he did.
Too long going into the Hall of Fame. 99% of this was, hey, player, ha. I didn't like this. He should have had more, like, you know, of his managing, some of his reffing. You know, I don't know.
That ain't what he's known for in the WWE, homie. Just remember, this is the three letters in the front are WWE.
Well, Rock and Roll is present going in there, and they, all he did was like...
I mean, let's be very clear. It's entertainment. It's road wrestling entertainment. Nobody's going to put a vignette of what's his name, counting 1, 2, 3 on regular matches. Nobay cares. Like, it
okay,
matter.
Well, let's mix it up some and say, well, hey, you know, before he came in, he was...
Who cares? But nobody cares. But the people who know about Teddy Long player don't care about that. That was who he was. And the people who care about that already knew he was that. So there's no point to doing all that.
Let's acknowledge it.
No,
like,
but for what?
Talk about it. Yes.
Acknowledge it for who, though? Because you already know that. And I already know that. And Don already knows that. And the people who know Teddy Long player don't care. So acknowledge it for who?
Right, and then you save that for
people
the
people don't know.
You save that,
but what do they care for?
You save that for the actual event, so that the people who know him as Holla Holla player go, oh damn, I didn't know he was a referee and a manager too. Oh, okay. See, that's how you play that. You got to leave something for the actual event. Can't give it all to him right there, Sam. You're not, you know, you events have that issue. Just want it all, just right up front. It's not how it works. Works better if you go a little bit at a time.
No, sorry.
Portions.
Can't rock with it.
Bailey, congratulations. You are the new Raw Women's Champion. Put this moment into perspective.
Just staring at it this close, I guess, is crazy. It's a moment that not only have I always wanted to be on Monday Night Raw, be a part of WWE, I've always wanted to main event Raw. And I just did that for the Women's Championship. And it's something that since little kids can, you know, little kids know what it's like to have dreams. The dreams that they have right now, it's real. It's all built up in their heart, and that's like everything that I've had since then, since I was 10 years old. This is it. This is it. This is my heart. And finally did it. And to follow in the footsteps of such amazing women that I looked up to, I hope they were watching this and that they could feel proud and feel good that the women's division of WWE is in pretty good hands. I'm going to hug this all night.
Congratulations.
So, here's Tozawa versus Daivari. Both made it here in the Code of Honor. They chop each other's chest for a while. Daivari covers up, and then Tozawa slaps him. Tozawa wins the German suplex into a bridge, a very impressive outing for that young man.
Daivari, another guy who would benefit greatly from not having to be a jobber every fucking week.
So the Festival of Friendship begins. Jericho comes down with some Vegas showgirls. He calls out Kevin Owens. Owens looks rather somber. Now, the room is adorned like the Vegas Strip. The man has a velvet rug on it. Jericho reveals a sculpture that represents their friendship. Next, Jericho reveals the creation of Kevin. It's highly disturbing. Jericho wants him to hang it in his house. Owens says he has two children, and Jericho isn't wearing pants. Owens can't stop looking at it like a bad car wreck. Next, Jericho brings out a shame magician named Friendship the Magician. He does a couple of silly tricks. Owens says his 9-year-old son can do the same magic tricks. Jericho chides Friendship, pulls out the list, asks if he knows what happens when you don't impress Kevin Owens with his magic. With that, Friendship the Magician, he just made the list. He tells him to do another magic trick and disappear. Owens asks where he found Friendship, and Jericho answers Craigslist. Jericho says that his final gift is ensuring that Goldberg does not make it to Fastlane, a gift that he should have given him last week. He calls out Goldberg, and sure enough, it's our dear old friend, Dwayne Gill, a.k.a. Goldberg.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yes, it was great. And it has so many layers by it being Chris Jericho calling him out, you know, because it's him and, you know, Goldberg really got beef from back in the day.
All right. So Owens runs down and beats him up. Kevin is very annoyed by this. He wants an explanation. He says he did it for him because he enjoys being his friend and his partner. He says he has Owens back at the pay-per-view. Owens goes back to looking somber. Owens and Jericho hug, but then Owens reveals that he got Jericho a gift as well. Owens hands Jericho a box. Jericho opens it and sees that it's a new list. His old list is getting ragged and full. He looks at it and sees that his name is on the list. He takes it out of the box and holds it up so that we all see that it's actually the list of KO. And then he turns and looks at it. He turns it around and looks at it and realizes what it is. Jericho looks up and Kevin starts beating the holy tar out of his best friend. So now we know what Triple H and Owens were discussing backstage. See, Triple H obviously said that he wants Owens to be one of his guys. And all he has to do is get rid of Jericho. So Owens beats him up, picks up Jericho, throws him through the Jerichotron, whatever thousand it's on now.
3,000.
I thought it was like at least 6. I thought 5,000 we already had. So anyway, yeah, he gives him the apron powerbomb, and that's pretty much all she wrote.
Hey, Chris Jericho, I can't believe you took that bump. You're too old. I know DDP Yoga has been working wonders with him, but yeah, I cringed big time when he took that bump. This was great. This was what wrestling is all about. It was everything. It was funny. It was emotional. It was out of left field, and it was executed perfectly. I don't think that this might have been Chris Jericho's best thing he's done ever.
Calm down there.
Oh no, it was great. It was great. Like the range, dude, from being like Bob Barker in the beginning. And then, you know, doing a little comedy in the middle part and then getting real serious when he was like, you know, building it up and like, yo, this has been the best year I've had in a long time. You make it fun to come to work, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, he says you everything, man.
Well, it was great. I liked it. Too bad no one else did because, like, it flopped big time in the ratings. People turned the TV off for this.
Oh, man, they shouldn't have. Didi, what do you think?
Of what? I'm sorry.
The Festival of Friendship.
It all went bad, but before it went bad, it was really nice. Like, I appreciated all the flashbacks to the better times and the great times of how they established and cemented the friendship. It was lit. Like, I could see my friendships in Chris's friendships, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dina, would you put the creation of Kevin, you know, frame on your wall?
No, but that's just me. It's no judgment of those who do. It's not my choice in life. No.
Okay. Enzo versus Cesaro. Oh my god, this match was so bad.
Not one of Enzo's best showcases.
God, at one point Cesaro throws Enzo over the top rope.
He just tries to
normal people. Normal people would just drop dead right there.
Or
right?
Slide through the or bottom something. Of the ropes or something.
He fucking flaps over the top rope like he was hit by the Invisible Man. At times it looked like Enzo was trying to sandbag him. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I don't know about that now.
No, go back and look. When he tries to pick him up, sometimes it's kind of like hard for him. He's not doing it on purpose, but he just kind of, it looks
like he's bottom heavy, man.
It looks like he's just trying to deadweight him. But Cesaro's supposed to be the strong man that swings people and picks people up, and he's the strong man. So anyway, Cesaro luckily ends it with an uppercut when Enzo tries to do a dive outside. So
it's a pop-up uppercut. He basically pressed him in the air and then gave him an uppercut. Really good.
Yeah.
So the finish was really good, not the match.
Make that clear. So Black History Month segment about Rosa Parks. They get every black person on the roster, both Raw and SmackDown, to talk about her. Except for Sasha.
Sasha Banks, because you weren't here last week.
Are they trying to hide her at this
point? No, DD established that because she is our investigative reporter, that they don't know that she's black because they only see her mom, and her mom is Mexican.
Well, they see, I thought she was like German. Well, like according to her Wikipedia, she's half German. So, is Wikipedia trying to do some more ethnic cleansing or something, or what?
Well, see, what it is you're obscuring the point. The point is that they don't know she's black, right? Let's just sit there. What they think she is doesn't really matter until Mexican Heritage Month. You know, right now they just don't know she's black.
So they had her come out with Snoop Dogg and said, "Oh, Snoop Dogg's her cousin."
Who said that?
They acknowledged it on the show.
Did they say that that was her cousin, or did we say that was her cousin?
Michael Cole
did.
They said it on the show. Okay, I'm completely sober.
No, I'm drunk, but I'm very clear about relationships regarding
race. I will bet you $100 that they said it.
I'm sure they said it, but you can always be cousins via race. You see what I'm saying? You know, the marriage.
Play cousins.
Right? Yeah, play cousins. Oh, we grew up. You know, his mom married my uncle. That's not blood. I don't know that I need to be in Black History Month lessons. I just don't know that they know that she's black. That's all I'm saying.
They thought Team Bad was like a diverse unit.
All they knew was that they weren't all the way white, right? You know, like there's an, you know.
Yeah, it's like a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's considered a clean or white piece of paper until you write something on it. Then it's no longer that.
Okay. So Sasha and Charlotte have a confrontation backstage. This looks like it's going to lead to Sasha interfering. Let's see.
At least Sasha said something back this week. At least she didn't just take it like she did the week before in the training room. And she was looking good in her secret jumpsuit. Creep ass.
Like, I kind of did appreciate the fact that even though, like, she really wasn't ready to fight, quote unquote, she was like, I'm going to wear my secret jumpsuit, booty short outfit
brace.
With my knee brace because it's Vegas and I'm going to be cute. Like, I kind of enjoyed that.
You think she was stepping out later on?
Absolutely. She was on the strip. She went to Circus. She went to, you know, Bally's. She went to, you know, Paris. She went all those places.
I used to work at the Radio Shack, one of the Radio Shack facilities. And, like, there was these two girls at the end of the night, like around 9, because we get off at 10. At 9:30, they would go to the bathroom on Friday nights and change into their, like, you know, going out dresses and stuff. I always thought the whole thing was ridiculous, but it was funny. So is that what Sasha did here? It got time to end the show, so she was like, let me go on and put this on.
I think you have to dress for the location. You don't dress for Vegas as you do for Columbus, Ohio. Sorry, not sorry. That's just the facts. So she knew she was in Vegas. She was like, let me wear my booty short, jumpsuit, glitter. Let me get that popping. I don't see the problem.
Me either.
Oh, calm down. Bayley versus Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship. So early in the match, Charlotte tries to slap Bayley around. Bayley comes back with a huge slap of her own and knocks Charlotte under the mat. That was pretty cool. Charlotte bashes Bayley into the turnbuckle, and Bayley starts to Hulk up before she makes her own comeback. Now, this match is great. Charlotte schoolboys Bayley and ends up whiplashing her head into the bottom turnbuckle. Now, Don, you've probably been reading around a bit. Like, was that legit, or was that supposed to happen?
I don't know. It just looked like she kind of might have made up something on the fly there. It looked really impressive.
Yeah. It looked like it fucking hurt. Goddamn.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, when you fall back like that, most of the time you just slap back and on the mat, you don't expect to get the turnbuckle all up in your neck and in head. So yeah. I mean, it looked impressive. It, that might be something that she starts incorporating in her matches.
Yeah, hopefully she lets them know beforehand so you know, they can prepare. So let's see here. She puts Bailey in a choke and starts to ragdoll the girl. She gives her a reverse neck breaker and then continues to work on Bailey. Bailey makes a comeback with knee strikes to the spine. Charlotte begins to abuse her on the outside with boots on the neck. Charlotte does a really, really awesome moonsault off the barricade onto Bailey, down on the ringside mats. Charlotte does some chops, but Bailey fights back with some of her chops of her own. She makes a big comeback, hits a springboard elbow on Charlotte off the second turnbuckle. Charlotte begs off after the onslaught, but Bailey comes back with a side suplex. Bailey climbs to the top rope, almost loses her balance, and she actually laughed about that. And then she does the classic Macho Man elbow to a two count. Bailey does a hurt. Okay, this is where the Frankensteiner came in. Bailey does a Frankensteiner off the top rope to another two count. The crowd is reacting huge to all of this. Dana Brooke comes out, and Bailey knocks her off the apron. However, Charlotte tries to roll her up for a distraction finish, but Bailey kicks out. She puts Charlotte into the figure four, but Dana comes and rakes the eyes. Charlotte comes back and puts her in the figure eight, but then Sasha Banks comes out with a crutch and hits Dana with it. She comes around and hits Charlotte with it as well. The ref never sees it. Bailey hits the belly to Bailey, TV's favorite move, and wins the Raw Women's Championship.
Yeah, Sasha Banks was very reminiscent of DDP when DDP was on the crutch and he was taking out the NWO that night. Yeah, that's what it looked like. Congrats to Bailey. I think they got this like totally like out of whack, so that's why I think we might get like some shenanigans on Monday. Charlotte, she's got the float over the turnbuckle down. She needs to incorporate the flare flop into her match now, and then she'll be like complete. You know what I mean by the flare flop, right?
So what y'all think of like the whole Charlotte loses on the at the on Raw, but then wins it back on the pay-per-view?
I mean, that's what Charlotte does. Charlotte loses on Raw. Like, you know, it fits the narrative to say, ooh, she's 15 and blah, blah, blah at pay-per-views, completely disregarding the fact that she almost always loses on Raw. So, you know, who really cares? You know, like, it's cute if you don't pay, you know, the $9.99 and you're only viewing, oh, what happened on, you know, the pay-per-view? But Charlotte's easily beaten. It just depends on what day you get her. If you get her on a Sunday, you're going to lose. If you get her on a Monday, you're more than likely to win. So
yeah, you got about a 68% chance of winning.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not one of those things that's like, ooh, shocker. It's like, oh, great, she won. I'm happy because I don't really fuck with Charlotte. Like, fuck out of here. So, like, for that purpose, I'm very happy with the outcome.
So what do you think about Bailey winning here instead of like at Mania or something? You know, you can only win your first one time.
I mean, I don't care about that. Like, it's going to be a very specific person with a very specific outcome that wins it at WrestleMania for the very first time. And maybe it does or doesn't fit the narrative. Because at this point, it's either going to be, you know, Naomi winning it. I mean, not Naomi. It's going to be Charlotte winning it back or Sasha winning it back or, you know, God forbid. What's that girl's name?
Nia Jax?
No.
Dana Brooke?
Dana. Nia too, but Dana winning it for the first time or Nia winning it for the first time ever. So I mean, those last two are less likely.
I don't think Dana's winning anything.
Yeah, same. Also. But it's like those. It's really only those few options. Like, you can only craft the narrative of you won your first title at WrestleMania for it. That's a very specific thing to narrate. So I don't necessarily think that that matters, but it's something to say you go into it with it and you keep it. So if Bailey keeps it at WrestleMania, I would think that that's indicative of where they want to go with her as opposed to really anything else.
So, like, at Fastlane, do you think Charlotte wins with, like, you know, with disqualification or count out or something?
I mean, her being her, she could easily win to keep the streak going, or she could lose. You know, I don't know, and I don't care, because I don't see it for Charlotte. So
I don't think they're going to wrestle with Fastlane. I think they're going to skip.
And just go straight to WrestleMania.
Well, maybe like a tag team match or something. Her and Dana against Sasha and Charlotte.
My thing is Dana really did kind of pop out of nowhere. And I did. And I always thought that Sasha should have done way more to Dana than she did. Because Dana really did rob her of an opportunity at one of the pay-per-views. I don't really quite recall which. But my thing is, she snatched an opportunity. And that was Sasha's moment to be like, guess what we're going to do? We're going to realize that you're not ever going to do this to me again because I'm going to fuck you up. And so the fact that she never capitalized on that really was a missed opportunity. So if she takes this time of bad knees, so I really can't fight my good friend for it, But what I can do is be this other bitch's ass. I feel like that's smart booking. Who knows if that's what they're going to do, but it seems smart to me.
I see. So anyway, that's your Monday Night Raw. An okay show.
Just okay? That's like awesome in your standards.
Oh, will you stop?
I'm just saying.
I thought old Bobby Heenan and Gorilla said, will you stop? All right, Don, you're up.
No, this is we're going to introduce ourselves. It's a Tuesday night. #SmackDown SmackDown Matters with our lovely SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Didi Jonet.
It's lit. All right. Well, here's what happened. Preemptively, I'm going to tell you, because I love you and I don't want to lie to you. I was late, so I didn't even get in the house until 9 o'clock. But this is what I had heard had happened, right? They were in the Honda Center. The Honda Center is in Anaheim, California. The show starts with Bray Wyatt. He comes into SmackDown with his championship belt that he won at Elimination Chamber, and the fans chant, "You deserve it," because that's what they always chant. John Cena comes out. He's like, yeah, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no one deserves the title. They earned the title. And since they earned the title, he wants to earn back the title tonight. And then AJ comes out. He's like, well, I want to earn the title too. You know, blah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, this is about me, not about you, John Cena. And he doesn't really want to have his championship with John. He wants it separate. So then out comes the general manager, Daniel Bryan. He's like, here's what we'll do. We'll do a three-way. It'll be John Cena, it'll be AJ Styles, and it'll be Bray Wyatt for the championship. That's later. Next, I hope you don't hear the drunk people in the background. I'm sorry. They're so drunk. Sorry. Next is the tag team champions, American Alpha versus The Ascension. If you remember, The Ascension were basically the finalists from before. They lost eventually, but they were still the finalists. So after a commercial break, The Ascension are beating up Chad Gable. They isolate him on their side of the ring. But then Chad gets the hot tag on his brother because they're related.
Biracial Steiner brothers.
Biracial Steiner brothers, exactly. But then again, his twin or his sibling makes the save, and they hit the grand amplitude. And then Chad covers Victor for the pinfall. After the win, the Usos appear on the Titantron. They threaten American Alpha. And them. Long story short, it's just setting up the next few weeks' storyline. I feel like it's established that Chad.
Oh. Hold on.
Right? Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. Did you notice that it might be a little bit easier to tell, to play the name that Uso, because I think it's.
Yeah, Jay. You're absolutely right, Jay. Jay gained a lot of weight. Not a little bit of weight. A lot of weight. Jay is chunky. Jay is Naomi's husband.
He's about to transform into his full Samoan form.
Yeah, Jay is Naomi's husband, and Jay is beginning to look like his daddy Rikishi. He has gained a lot of weight. Not a little bit of weight. A lot of weight. It is a very discernible difference between him and his brother. So unfortunately, name that Uso is put on hold because. I know exactly who is who. You know, like there's no guessing game to this. Like I looked at them and I was like, I'm pretty sure Jay is the fat one. And it was like, yeah, Jay's the fat one. And it's like, okay, well then there's no point to this. It's over. I got it. And if I got it, y'all got it, because I was kind of slow on the uptake because my ladies' night co-star Jay, she certainly knew who was who. So yeah.
Shout out to Jay to the max out there in the world. Working and being awesome.
Remy Martin, get you some. Yeah. So, yeah, the Usos that are no longer identical appear on the Titantron. They threaten American Alpha. And again, set up what's going to go on for the next week and or so. Next is, the drinking game is every time you take a drink, every time I say and you take a drink every time there's a distraction finish. You can do either, you can do both. Please don't die. If you do, we have advised you not to do all that, right?
Yes,
right.
Please drink responsibly.
Exactly. So next is Carmella and James Ellsworth. They're talking backstage. Carmella tells him to keep things professional. Dean comes in looking for Baron Ambrose. Gives James some advice, basically telling him that Carmella is like for the birds and to leave her alone. And then Carmella says, quote, Jimmy, are you going to let this gas station attendant talk to me like that? And truthfully, That's exactly what Dean Ambrose looks like, so I'm not mad at it. Okay, so Dean says, okay, all that's whatever, but I'm looking for Dean. I'm looking for Baron Corbin, and Daniel Bryan books the match for later. I've skipped some things because it really doesn't matter. Next, there's a commercial break, and then Carmella and Ellsworth are in the ring, and Ellsworth tells the crowd not to boo Carmella, and telling the crowd not to do something is basically telling the crowd to do something, so of course they boo Carmella. And then Dean comes out, blah, 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 yakety schmackety. There's the Baron Corbin fight with Dean Ambrose. They're going up the stage. Baron puts Ambrose through a table, which I enjoy greatly. There's some sparks that fly. It's so great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's, again, from the end of days until all like the equipment, the tech equipment. Yeah.
It's lit. It's lit.
Baron Corbin out there looking like a superstar.
Yes. Backstage, Daniel tells his sister-in-law, Nikki, that her and Natty Bo have to stop getting into fights. Natty Bo says, no, Natty confronts them, says some shit that I don't know because, again, I came home late. And then they start to fight. And Daniel flips out, starts yelling at the both of them, screaming that they keep fighting everywhere except where it matters, aka the ring. So what Daniel's going to do is just make a false count anywhere match for next week. And then they can just do whatever they keep doing and it'll matter because the falls count anywhere.
Oh, right, I'm right. So excited for this. These two can brawl their ass off. Now they're going to have like it a match. Be lit. It's just going to be a brawl. Oh, yeah.
They have literally gone everywhere before they were allowed to. So now that they're allowed to, they had better go everywhere. All of the places plus more that they haven't explored before is what I would want. See, I said, that's your cue to take a drink. You're welcome. Daisy Fuentes, also known as Dasha Fuentes, I don't subscribe to that, but if that's what you want to do, feel free. Daisy stops Baron Corbin backstage and asks for an explanation for why he attacked Dean. He said Dean eliminated him from the chamber match at the last pay-per-view, so he eliminated Ambrose on SmackDown. Fair. I'm not mad. Renee Young, aka Dean Ambrose's Boothing, interviews Dolph Ziggler and asks him if he's a sore loser due to his post-match attack of what's his name, Apollo and Kalisto at Elimination Chamber. If you're not aware, he beat the shit out of them with a chair. So Dolph says he's just making a point and he'll do so until his point is cemented with all of you people. He says he steals the show and plans to put others in their place. Boom. And roast it. Next match is Mickie James versus Becky Lynch. Becky
showed back up. Nope.
No, Mickie won.
It looked like Mickie hurt her shoulder. And she was, you know, doing the sales job. The ref was checking on her or whatever. And then she kind of got up on her feet. And then she gave Becky Lynch the mid kick. And jumped on her, and the referee was looking all confused, and she was like, count! She got the pin. So, dumb Becky is back on the scene.
She's back doing what she does. Next, excuse me, I have to take a drink. I know there wasn't a distraction, but I was parched. Next, Renee Young conducts an in-ring interview with Naomi, your new SmackDown Women's Champion.
Field the glove.
Apparently, Nebe suffered an injury at Elimination Chamber.
So hold on. You got to trademark that. Nebe?
You like it?
Yeah.
It's good.
I kind of do.
It's good, yeah.
Is that N-A-E?
B-A-E. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, Nebe. Yeah, these are the...
Hashtag.
These are the drunken musings of me, Didi. This is what I do. So, yeah, Nebe suffered an injury at Elimination Chamber. So then Alexa... Don's Boothing interrupts.
Why?
Yeah, I'm sorry. She claims.
Why is Naomi hurt? Why?
I mean, you know, Black History Month. We give and we take. So Alexa claims that Nate is faking the injury. And then she's like, yeah, make a great 30 for 30 episode. And then she demands her rematch. And she gives Naomi a one-week ultimatum. So that's the overarching moment. She has 1 week. Yeah. To come to a conclusion, either have the match and or relinquish her title because you must, I can't think of the words because I'm drunk. You must defend your title. Yes, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss was awesome on the mic right here. And Naomi was good too. She's getting, Naomi, you can see her confidence just coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. Next was TJ Perkins with a promo hyping 205 Live, and he challenged Neville for the Cruiserweight title. There's
also, what's your gimmick, Didi?
I'm a grown-ass woman. Just FYI, okay. You know. There's also going to be something involving Grand Metalik on the show. But just watch the show, you know. Just do that. Next is, next is the main event of the night. It is Bray Wyatt versus John Cena versus AJ Styles in a triple threat match. Luke Harper appears and attacks Bray during his entrance. He hits him with a super kick. They go to commercial. They come back. John Cena and AJ are fighting in the ring. John attempts a five knuckle shuffle. The things, they happen. AJ squares off with Bray. Bray tries to hit AJ with a stiff shoulder tackle, but it really doesn't. It doesn't do anything. He counters an attempt. Bray counters an attempt. An attitude adjustment attempt. I'm sorry, I'm drunk. I'm so sorry. I've been drinking since like 6 p.m. So, you know, bear with me. It's almost midnight. AJ escapes. No, fuck, I'm sorry. John escapes the Sister Abigail just in time for AJ to hit a flying forearm on Bray. Then John swoops in and hits an attitude adjustment on AJ. Then AJ kicks out on a two count. Boom. John runs into Bray. And Bray hits the Sister Abigail on him. AJ flies into the ring and makes a save when Bray is covering John. So that's just a two count. And then there's another commercial. When they come back from commercial, the things, they happen. More things, they happen. Then AJ hits a springboard and John trips him up and then AJ tumbles to the floor. John walks into Bray's grasp and he hits the Sister Abigail. And then Bray pins John Cena to retain his title. So Bray's the winner. And Bray is still your champion. After all that, Randy Orton walks into the ring and confronts AJ. And, you know, there's some flowery talk, but long story, not so long. Randy pledges his allegiance to the Wyatt family. And he says he could not challenge Bray for the title at WrestleMania despite being the top contender. Randy kneels at Wyatt's feet, and then Wyatt tells Randy he has the keys to the kingdom, and then Bray gets down on his knees. They both do their signature poses, and that is how your SmackDown ends for the week.
What'd you think?
Yay.
How many gummy bears did you give this edition of SmackDown, man? Didi?
Yeah, maybe 3, maybe 4. It wasn't bad. Wow.
It was that bad, huh?
It just didn't do anything for me. It didn't do what I needed it to do.
The main event was really good.
Didn't pop a rating with Didi?
That would be negative.
Guess not.
But you know something that will pop a rating, though?
What's that?
Shopping at Adam and Eve through CSBN.us. It's a couple of days after Valentine's Day, so if Valentine's Day didn't go quite as you wanted it to, ladies or gentlemen, make it up to your significant other by shopping at Adam and Eve through CSPN.us. This is our website at CSPN.us. Click on the banner that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Scroll down so you see Adam and Eve. Do your shopping. Grab whatever you'd like for her or his pleasure. And once you're done, Didi, tell them what code they need to use.
I don't think Didi's here.
The code is OTOY.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then use that code and you'll get 50% off your purchase. And you'll be on your way to having a good time and getting yourself out of the doghouse. So please, again, go to csbn.us, click on the banner that says Keep Our Podcast Free, support our sponsor Adam and Eve, get 50% off your purchase, and spread smiles and cheer throughout everyone you come in contact with. So we're going to go into 205 Live really fast. The homie, Rich Homie Swan.
Well, I heard somebody debuted at 205.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So Rich Swann gets the win over Noam Dar. He dedicates the match to Alicia Fox, but says that she couldn't handle it. So, he gets the win with the Phoenix Splash from the second rope. So that was good to see like a new finisher from Rich Swann. Then we get an interview between TJ Perkins and Neville before their title match tonight. Then we had the debut of Grand Metalik versus Drew Gulak. I don't know if Metalik was a little nervous or whatnot, but they, you know, start the match off. Drew Gulak, like, jumps him. Grand Metalik kind of gets his foot underneath him. He ducks the clothesline, goes for his first big move off the ropes, and slips. And so they kind of got off to a rough start. But he ended up winning the match with the Metalik driver. Then we get to our main event, Neville versus TJ Perkins. Neville catches TJ Perkins out of midair when he tries to do a Hurricane Rana from the top rope. That leads to TJ Perkins tapping out to the rings of Neville. After the match, Jack Gallagher comes down to the ring. They have a brawl. Jack Gallagher gets the best of it with his patented headbutt. And that was 205 Live.
Nice. How did people
react to it? It was pretty good. It wasn't noticeable that people were leaving, at least not, like, you know, camera side.
No, I watched it one time, and like, you could visibly see people just exiting the building.
They've done a little. They've done a little bit better with, I guess, having pretty good dark matches, or saving the dark match to after 205 Live to kind of keep people there. Okay. NXT, Dee Dee, I need you to chime in for this.
Okay, let me know.
Okay, so we have the Authors of Pain versus Lance Inouye and this other Spears guy. Now, Lance Inouye, excuse me, is the cousin of Roman Reigns. Remember, yes. I sent all you ladies a bunch of the picture.
Of yes, young Samoa guy. Of everybody but
Samoa Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So this was his like NXT debut. So he's like a part of the Performance Center NXT.
Nice.
Yeah. So you know, another Samoa one in the pipeline.
You can never have too many, so it's good.
Yes. So Lance Inouye ends up taking the last chapter from the Authors of Pain, and they get the win. Then after the match, if that wasn't enough, they give them the Super Collider, which is where they pick them up in the powerbomb position and run the two guys into each other. Then we get a Tyler Bate vignette. Then we have Peyton Royce versus and Billy Kay versus Liv Morgan and a partner of her choosing. That partner of her choosing is none other than Ember Moon. Hashtag Ember Bay. Billy Kay gives Ember a big boot that knocks her off the apron, and she goes splat on the floor. Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good boot and a pretty nasty-looking bump. Billy and Royce do their finisher. Billy Kay gets Liv up in, like, the wheelbarrow, and then Peyton comes through and gives her a running knee, and they get the pin, and they get the win. We get a recap of last week's events between Ty Dillinger and Sanity. Then we get a No Way Jose and Roderick Strong promo of why they stepped in to help Ty last week against Sanity. Gargano and Ciampa, DIY, they do an in-ring promo where they declare that they're asking for the rematch versus the Authors of Pain. Authors of Pain come out. Precious Paul Ellering says in 2 weeks they can have their rematch and to make peace with their loved ones before then. Gargano and Ciampa tell each other, I love you, man. And then they said they've made their peace and they're ready to do it right now. When all of a sudden, the top guys, the Revival, slide into the ring from DIY's blind side, Dash tackles Ciampa, then they give the Shatter Machine to Gargano. Authors of Pain hit the ring, Revival leave the same way that they came in. We get a Trent Seven vignette, then we get a Cassius Ohno vignette, then we go to William Regal, where he's making a triple threat match to determine the number one contender between Peyton Royce, Liv Morgan, and Ember Moon in 2 weeks. And then we get our main event of the evening, Trent Seven versus Tyler Bate for the UK Championship. Tyler Bate hits a rebound front flip kick, like if you've ever seen Jushin Thunder Liger do that rolling kick that he does. It was like that, but it was like the Dean Ambrose rebound clothesline. Looked pretty sweet. He followed that up with the Tyler Driver 97, and Tyler Bate retains the UK Championship. Main event was really good. The attack by the Revival was awesome. Ember Moon took a really nasty boot and bump. That thing was sick. And Lance Inouye debuted. So, you know, pretty decent NXT. Just advancing the story a little bit. NXT is kind of in this refreshing stage right now, so it's not at the high level that it is known for. But all in all, it's still pretty good. A lot of people are improving, like the Authors of Pain. They're starting to really get really good, so big things coming from them. One more review. We had our second set of New Beginnings from Osaka in New Japan. Had a really cool six-man. We had Minoru Suzuki, Taishi, and Kanemaru versus Okada and Roppongi Vice. Kanemaru hits a DDT after coming off the rope on the Rocky Romero, and they get the win. Then we had a never open six-man tag team title match between Evil, Bushi, and Sanada versus the champions, Tanahashi, Taguchi, and Nakanishi. Bushi sprays Nakanishi with the mist, then Sanada makes him tap to the skull end, and the Los Ingobernables de Japón are your new champions. And after the match, the new champions beat up the old champion. The match that I was here for, Will Ospreay versus Shibata for the Rare Pro Heavyweight title. Shibata survives an inverted 450 to hit the penalty kick to retain the title and win the match. It was a fantastic match, hard-hitting. Will Ospreay does this freaking, goes to do a shooting star press on the outside. Shibata moves and he lands on his feet. Oh, man. Y'all probably saw like the gifs of it last week if y'all are deep into wrestling Twitter. But yeah, this match was everything. Was not disappointed. We had Azuka, Davey Boy Smith Jr., Yano and Ishii versus Hamuna and Makabe. This was supposed to be Lance Archer, but he got hurt, so they had to put Azuka in here to be Davey Boy Smith Jr.'s partner. Yano hits Davey Boy Smith Jr. with the low blow. He rolls him up, and they get the pin, and they retain the titles. Do we get one of the craziest matches I've ever seen? We get Takahashi, the Time Bomb, versus Dragon Lee for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. These guys did what I said that they should let the guys in WWE do, the Cruiserweights. They just went crazy. They took some of the nastiest, wickedest bumps I've ever seen. Hurricanranas from the ring to the floor, sentons into the railing. I mean, just crazy Sabu-type bumps. But Takahashi, he gets the win with the time bomb to retain the title. Then after the match, Taguchi appears to cut a promo on Takahashi. Takahashi tries to jump him from behind, but Taguchi gets the ankle lock and basically declares himself the next challenger for the junior heavyweight title. And then we got our main event, Naito versus Michael Elgin for the IWGP Intercontinental title. Naito is basically working the knee of Elgin, so that basically renders all Elgin's power moves at like half strength. And since he does so many things that require him to be standing, you know, there's certain moves that he can't do. So really cool story. And if you know anything about their rivalry, for a shoot, Naito, broke Michael Elgin's orbital bone in his eye, fractured his face basically. And so he kind of played it off where he thought he was going to be going for his face, but he used it as a fake out to go for his knee. Eventually, after hitting a Destino off the ropes, but not getting the full rotation, he gets another Destino in the middle of the ring and pins Elgin clean to retain the IC title. So, yeah, this show is up underneath the What We Are Watching hashtag. They've got some really good undercard matches, some multi-man tag team matches. But if you usually start, usually about an hour and 20 minutes in, you get the match right before the intermission. And then everything after the intermission are all usually like the big title matches or whatever. So check it out. New Beginnings from Osaka.
All right. Anything else?
No, man, that's about it. For people who are into New Japan who just got the service, there won't be anything this weekend, but the next weekend, the end of the month, they will be having two shows. So check it out. Kenny Omega should be on one of those shows. He's slated to come back at the end of the month. So
that's all right. So if there's nothing else, I guess we're going to do shout-outs. We're going to hit Didi because her battery is running low or something.
Yes, I'm at 12%. Shout out to, yes, it's struggle. Shout out to Mel because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to you and Dawn and Greg, our married man who Sam didn't know was married, but he's married. And then shout out to Adam and Jeff. They're the reasons why I'm drunk right now. So like shout out to them. So yeah, that's it.
All right. Now, Don, your turn.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to everybody who joined us for the live tweets this week. EC Matters, hashtag Rawcast, hashtag SmackDown Matters. I'd like to give a shout out to Joey and Chris over at the Go Get Over podcast. Got to hang out with those guys at another big time wrestling event over the weekend. Got to see Teddy Long looking open casket sharp. Great Kali. Didi, I got to see your fave, Carlito. And he was cool.
What?
Yeah, he was cool. Billy Gunn, really nice.
Did you give him my number, though?
No, okay. I didn't.
Oh, and it doesn't matter.
Okay. Buff Bagwell, he was really cool. So, yeah, shout out to those guys at Big Time Wrestling. They put on a great show. Shout out to Sam, Didi, Greg, Classic, and everybody who joins us and downloads us, Queen Mel, Mindy, Jupiter Julep, everybody who shows up in the live tweets every week, man. We appreciate y'all. iTunes subscribers and people who listen through iTunes, you know, rate and review us, give us 5 stars, help us raise our profile. You know, maybe somebody will want to, you know, start flying us out so we can comment on these things live or something one day. So look out for you folks.
Don, you getting flown out? What?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm not above getting flown out.
Right. So my shout outs are pretty basic. Shout out to the Globe up there doing their thing. Shout out to you guys. And I think that's about it for this week. We'll see y'all next week, hopefully. And as far as WrestleCast 121, we are out.
She never said that this would be easy. They will lie to you, she said. They will try to denounce you, she said. They will try to steal your gift, and she was right. Sister Abigail always spoke the truth, and so do I. So when I tell you that I knew this day would come, I am not telling you a lie. And on this day, in this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hand. That can be a very, very scary thing. Not for me, of course, but for all of you. So I say unto you, open your ears and I will sing you a beautiful melody. Open your eyes and I will show you the wonders of this world. Walk by my side and I will lead you to paradise. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to the era of